The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today, I'd like to talk more about this idea of practicing off the cushion on purpose. There's so many ways in which we can incorporate practice into our daily lives. And I could say that there's also so many ways we can do anti-practice, this way in which we're doing things that maybe undermine some of our efforts on the cushion. Maybe efforts isn't the right word, just some of our meditation practice. And so I want to talk about today this idea of monotasking, this modern habit, this thing that we do more and more of, and, you know, all these devices, and there's so much encouragement to, in fact, do multiple things at one time. And there's a way that trying to do too many things at once just kind of like thins out our attention. Just recently, for myself, in a Zoom meeting, someone asked me to email someone else in the meeting a particular thing. And I often find this hard to do, but I thought, oh, okay, I gotta send this. So I started drafting the email while also trying to, you know, listen to what was happening in the Zoom meeting. Oh my gosh. In seconds, I wasn't like doing anything well. The thread of the meeting kind of slipped away and I couldn't follow what was happening. And then the email got muddled. I couldn't quite get my mind focused around it. And trying to do these two different things that require attention, I did neither of them really well. And because I felt like, oh, I really do need to send this, somehow I just kind of like tuned out the meeting and just sent this email, you know, attaching the attachment and doing whatever was needed. And I just really noticed like how taxing this was in a way that maybe we often aren't noticing, because there's this way, you know, there's been plenty of studies that show this, that in fact, people don't multitask. That doesn't actually exist. We could say we like micro toggle, that we're just going back and forth. We are task switching. We're not actually doing more than one thing at a time. We're just going back and forth. And there's this way in which psychologists describe this as each toggle, so to speak, leaves a little fog. And what they are calling attention residue, the lingering of the task that you were doing before, that kind of gets brought into the next task in a way that clouds the next task. And we're not bringing, you know, all of our attention. And I'm hoping that the noise cancellation on Zoom is working really well. If not, I apologize for all the sound that you may or may not be hearing on Zoom. But the Buddha named this dynamic of being pulled away into doing many things at once. And he describes a river that is pouring down from the mountains, that is, and this river is swift and powerful and carrying everything with it. And then someone opens the channels on both banks. And then this main current just gets dispersed, diffused, dissipated. And the river no longer goes as far as a river, and it's no longer running deep. We could say this is multitasking. Too many side channels opened in the mind, so the main current weakens. And we could say, well, why does this matter? It matters for a number of reasons. And one is that our mental energy, or the attention we have, the amount of tension we might say, is finite. And when it's spread thin, as it's going in many different places at once, it loses depth and power. And we end up just skimming the surface of so many things, of our life. And you don't need me to tell you this. We all know this. We all experience this way that we end up just becoming present for the bare minimum, just like barely present. And we end up being like busy. But meanwhile, our life is passing us by. Meanwhile, we are reinforcing this habit or this movement to not really be mindful, to not really cultivate any steadiness or attention. We could say there's this way in which multitasking numbs presence. That's we're not really there. We're not fully with anything. And as you know, like this Buddhist practice and this tradition is really about being fully with our experience. This is what we practice when we come to the meditation cushion. But off the cushion, we're training the mind so often with our multitasking to do the exact opposite, to not be fully with our experience. So off the cushion, on purpose, can we be with our experience? Can we monotask rather than multitask? Because there's this way in which this continuity of this relaxed awareness grows real stability. And this stability really lets the mind gather, and this consistency really supports a deepening of presence so that we can actually see where the suffering lies and where the freedom from suffering lies, so that we can really feel where the ease is and where the absence of ease is. So, of course, our minds are looking about and are pulled away, right? Evolution has kind of like tuned us to be paying attention to any things that might be harm or some danger or things that are novelty. Of course, our minds do this. It's just human. But you could say that practice is asking the question, what happens when we close a few of these extra outlets where the attention might go? And instead, let the attention, let the mind gather. And then if we practice with this, then we discover that this gathered, unified mind feels tranquil. It has this focused, it's clear, it's powerful. If we're doing this one thing, attention, instead of this micro toggling, switch tasking, task switching. And I appreciate that the Buddha is very clear that here in the suttas, he says, I do not see a single thing that when it is tamed, guarded, protected, and restrained is so very beneficial as the mind. Tamed, guarded, protected, and restrained. We could say this is part of what it means to just bring our attention to just as best we can, staying with one single thing. So this undivided attention as best we can is part of the taming, we could say, that the Buddha is using, recognizing that there's a wildness of the mind, right? That's always like looking for novelty and trying to be present. But there's this way in which this undivided attention is part of how we care. How we care for our own hearts, how we care for our minds, and how we care for other. Being present. Simply. As best we can. So I want to make this a little bit tangible without turning this into like a checklist, but just notice in your daily life, what are some of the familiar leaks, if you will, some of the ways in which attention often gets drawn? For example, on Zoom or on YouTube, through the way in which we might be on in a meeting, and then at the same time we're browsing or having a cup of tea, and the mind is half there and half doing other things. And for me, it's kind of interesting being in this role of a teacher. When I'm teaching on Zoom, it's fascinating. If I have it like on gallery view, I can see a lot of people. I can just notice when I give a certain type of information, then zoop, I can see so many people Google, and then they're off reading. And then they're, kind of no longer really paid attention to what I've said. It's fascinating just to see how kind of like predictable it is, and just to see so many people just all of a sudden, boom. You can tell, right, when people are on Zoom and they're off, reading a different way. So there's this way that the current we might use, kind of building on this analogy, that is the stream, the swiftness that could once run strong, just being present, gets split in so many different ways. So what are some of the multitaskings that you regularly do that maybe you don't need to do? And leaves you feeling a little agitated instead of nourished and present. So that's one thing. And we could say, the Satipatthana Sutta, but some of the it's really about this, just doing one thing at a time. And when you're doing that one thing, know you're doing that one thing. When you're sitting, know that you're sitting. When you're standing, know that you're standing. When you're walking, know that you're walking. Not as a grim drill that we have to do, but it's a way to maybe respect our experience, maybe dignify the moment in which we're having. That's being experienced right now. If we're reading, reading. Not while listening to this and, doing all these other things. And this is a way in which this, we could say, attention thickens or coalesces or gathers into presence, into mindfulness, with some steadiness and gatheredness. Because the quality of our awareness is important. The value of our time, the value of our life is not about how many tasks we do or how many tasks we juggle. It's the quality of the attention with which we meet anything, in which we meet a friend, in which we meet ourselves, in which we meet a paragraph. Because, attention turns out to be the primary currency of the human condition. So spend it carefully. Our attention is not infinite. We only have so much mental energy, so to speak. And we've created this attention economy where there's so many ways in which it tries to get pulled away. But why don't we bring it back? Because there's this way of it supports well-being. Not only does it support our mindfulness and our concentration, but when we are more gathered, this agitation eases. We discover a steadiness that really supports our life, that supports our practice. So the culture society is teaching us to maximize output, to get as much done as possible, as quickly as possible. But this practice, I would say the Dharma, invites us to deepen contact. So one experience, when it's met well, can provide some of the spaciousness and the presence that really our hearts are looking for. So, if you want to carry maybe one idea with you from this, is this idea of monotasking. Can we do fewer parallel activities? Just notice, are there some places in your life where you can just simplify? Is there a way you can maybe give yourself permission to give your whole heart to what's here? There's this way that undivided attention is a type of generosity. You could say, It tells this experience, this moment, this person that it matters. But because it's actually what's happening, it's the reality of the moment. So the invitation as we end today, maybe not another technique, but just a way to move throughout the day with monotasking. One thing, whole heart. Monotasking, just doing one thing, giving our whole heart, our whole mind to it as best we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, this habit of multitasking, I find myself doing this sometimes too, and just recognizing, like, oh, it's like taxing. Can we allow ourselves to just settle in and happily miss out on all those other things? Thank you all.